The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Too many ways to get us. I think I named them all, though. Whichever way you do, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. To my left, to your right. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing well, except you got me fired up pre-show talking about Danny Green stories. Danny Green with a great guest appearance on the VSiN Morning Line here this morning.
And I reminded you of a primetime action classic night where MGM posted a bad prop on Danny Green.
Yes, really bad.
You, being the exploiter that you are, correctly tried to exploit it. What was it, over or something?
It was like, I think it was like 13 and a half points was his real line. They forgot the one,
they
and
forgot
it was
the
like
one.
3.5.
And so it came, and so there was a three-pointer, I remember, the second half that went halfway down and bounced up. And that would have been my first question to Danny Green. I would have been like, do you remember this one time you had this shot that went halfway down? Yeah, Kelly lost on that.
I was losing.
That was awesome.
Oh, it was a rough night.
That's great. Anyway, Danny Green was on the morning line this morning, so good on them for having him on. We have quite the show. Mark Borchardt to talk Major League Baseball postseason. What a quadruple header that was yesterday. We have another quadruple header today, baby. This is great. If necessary, quadruple header tomorrow. But, you know, any facsimile of, we could have no games tomorrow. We could have four. We could have everything in between. Then our NFL power rankings coming up. And, oh, I like this. Win Total Wednesdays, baby. Ooh. This is, because people are like, Win Total Wednesdays. Adjusted season win totals, my favorite three that currently exist. And I kind of love them.
I got two. I think I'm thinking the same ones as you, though.
We didn't match on any. Okay.
But nice. I think yours I considered heavily about all of them.
Oh, thank you for doing so. Mm. And then in hour number two, not only Jason Weingarten, but Aaron Schatz, FTN Chief Analytics Officer. He doesn't work for that team. Chief Analytics Officer. CAO, they call him. The founder of Football Outsiders, now works at FTN, the creator of DVOA. He comes quarterly on the show during football season. And since we're through four games, you know, 17 now, so it's kind of, you can't really do it exact. But he'll come on to give us his quarterly report. I'll talk to him about through the prism of DVOA, who's the best, who's the worst, what units have stood out this far. But he's also an awards bettor. So we'll get his preliminary thoughts on that. If he's thinking anything, it's always the, you've got to see what we can pry out of him. Awards voter, pardon me. The one guy who did not vote for Lamar Jackson for MVP last year.
Yeah. And look, going back to our conversation last week.
Yeah.
We got to ask about comeback player of the year.
Gotta
and now the voters are talking about it.
Got to ask about comeback player of the year. And then also he had some preseason thoughts on this show that so far look pretty good. We'll get to those as well with Aaron. First of all,
can I ask you a random question real quick? I'm sorry. Win Total Wednesdays.
Yes, sir.
Of all the time you and I have been working together now.
Yeah. What's that been? Nine years now?
No, we're like six, solid six. Okay. Adjusted season win totals. I don't think since the legalization of sports betting and the expansion nationwide here in this country, I don't think there's a single market that I've seen you get more excited about than when we started talking about them.
Well,
does that still hold true today?
It still holds true because, again, and I don't want to, if I've said this 100 times, it's before people listen to Betting Dork and Beating the Book on the podcast side and on a numbers game, early on in a numbers game, before the legalization, I used to refer to something as a stock market-like thing that I do off the grid,
right,
which is the best betting vehicle I've ever been involved with, which was a Lehman Brothers. This is what was a Wall Street thing that was the most heavily participated in thing that anything internally at Lehman Brothers. And I was fortunate enough that they included me in this. As others were from outside of Lehman Brothers, but it was adjusted season win totals, but with a buy price and a sell price. And it was, the markets were made by actual, you know, Wall Street guys who knew what they were doing. So it was really tough. So, and one year I would be the best, one year I'd be the worst. Like it was college and pro, different market maker for each some years. But anyway, then when legalization happened, I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever because you could see the mistakes they made. Some people will remember the first year they did, the first week, they adjusted the Broncos three games up when they won a game they were supposed to win in week one, right? So there's all kinds. Now, they're better at it now, but I have three that I love.
I'll never forget it, because Gil's face, I feel like the first time I like brought it up, I'm like, hey, we have a Justin Seed. He's like, here in Vegas? Like, we can bet this?
It's the greatest. So excited. Real quick, though, Major League Baseball yesterday, four games, went 2-1 on the picks, and therefore 2-1 in terms of advancing towards the series plays, because those matched. First thing in the morning, hit Detroit as a dog with Tarek Skubal doing his thing. Six innings strong, didn't give up a earned run on four hits. Six Ks against one walk, and then the Tigers did their signature mix and match the rest of the way. It got hairy at the end. The Astros left the bases loaded in the ninth, down 3-1, and Brisky got out of it. Jason Hayward with a on-the-screws rocket, but right at first base, and that was the end of that. Tigers hold on. So we get that one. Though it was quickly followed by the loss of the day, the Orioles lose to the Royals 1-0. The Orioles completely waste a great Corbin Burns start. Corbin Burns, 8 innings of efficient pitching on 84 pitches in 8 innings, gave up one earned run. That was all it took. Five hits, 3 Ks, 1 walk. Reagans was great for the Royals. He gave up no earned runs in 6 innings. 4 hits is all he allowed, 8 Ks, and did not issue any free passes. But Burns, this was, you got to take advantage of that if you're the Baltimore Orioles. And the one time in the sixth inning where Bobby Witt Jr. came up, right, with a runner on second with two out, that's not the guy you want up there if you're the Orioles. And, of course, Bobby Witt Jr. cashed in on it, and that was the only run that the Royals needed. If you are a Baltimore Orioles fan, which I was my entire childhood, growing up in D.C., where we didn't have a team during my childhood, too young for the Senators, too old for the Nationals. So we were all Orioles fans. This is a franchise that has won 2 postseason games since the Robbie Alomar Orioles of the 90s. And that was the Jeffrey Mayer 1996 team, and then 1997. They've won two postseason games, and the only two were in 2012. So they haven't won a postseason game in over a decade. And this is a very frustrating team because they have the farm system. They could have gone for it. They kind of got a free pass last year. People are like, oh, they did well. They don't have to do any better than they did. Got swept by the Rangers. And then here they are. And I don't know. Maybe they get swept out today, too. So we lose on the Orioles. Didn't have anything involved. I didn't have a bet on the Mets. Brewers, Mets absolutely looked great offensively. They double up the Brewers 8-4 in that ball game after trailing 2-0. And then they got a 5-run fifth for the Mets after they trailed 4-3. Just a good performance by the Mets as they carry over their momentum. Did hit the Padres, though, for the 2-1 performance yesterday in the betting, because the Padres behind Michael King, wow, 7 innings, scoreless ball, just gave up 5 hits, 12 Ks against 0 walks. By the way, the Braves struck out 15 times in all.
Oof.
Jason Adam with the striking out of the side in the eighth to add to that. 15 Ks for the Braves. Again, the travel for the Braves after the doubleheader with the Mets right to San Diego cross country. That worked out nicely for the Padres, 4-0. So today, and by the way, I have those same teams in the series, this best of three wildcard series. I have the Padres, I have the Tigers, and I have the Orioles. So 2-1 on the way there so far. We'll see how it shakes out. Again, we could have 4 sweeps like we did last year today. We don't know. Only play I have today is the Tigers. I do have the Tigers. Plus 157 with Holton on the mound going up against, again, who's he going up against with the, I'm drawing Hold a blank on. Now. Tigers taking on the Astros, and it's going to be Brown for the Astros. Yeah, so Holton is the play for me. Plus 157 is too much of a number, in my opinion, even though Holton's advanced stats not quite as good as his conventional stats, but his conventional stats are otherworldly, so still a good pitcher. And plus 157 is way too good of a bang for the buck not to play that. So that's my play. That's the first of the games again today. All right, Davante Adams, real quick, because we want to get to Borchard. Davante Adams, Raiders looking to trade him, and there's all kinds of speculation as to what would be the most. We looked for lines, what his next destination could be.
They don't exist. Yeah.
But here's the speculation in Sports Talk Radio, right? And we'll just do quick association. Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure, sounds like a great plan.
Yeah, great plan to trade him to a team in your division.
Yeah. This is like the overall Twitter reaction yesterday where I'm like, I agree with everybody on Twitter. Your team would be better with Devontae Adams.
That's right. That's right. Chiefs are in their division. Chiefs have won, I don't know if you've heard this, but back-to-back Super Bowls. Probably don't want to trade him there.
Okay, so Matt Brown and I had the quick conversation yesterday. We're hearing the asking price starts with a second rounder, right? The Chiefs, are they even in consideration, or what does that asking price start with? It's got to be way
for
more.
For the Chiefs, it might be more than every other team.
It has.
But I don't think the Raiders should not consider that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
By the way, Devontae Adams is also on the wrong side of 30, and he may not be the guy we all remember him to be. The Jets is the obvious choice with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers loves himself some Tay, as he calls him.
Mm-hmm.
But do the Jets, like, does that knock Lazard out of the sort of wide receiver room, if you will? Like, he's been good.
Right.
So does that improve you tremendously? So
I think it's been talked about enough. I think that the connection between those two is so obvious that I would expect the Jets to be involved. And
too.
They do have the cap room. Cap room does come into play into this conversation a little bit, but they have the room to bring him in. Matt Brown, I spoke for 4 minutes about this yesterday, but he brought that up. He's like, is wide receiver really the problem for the New York Jets?
No, that's my point. That's my point. But Aaron Rodgers runs things, so he'll get his way, even if it doesn't make sense.
That's why I think they'll be a player.
The Bills seems like a really good spot in terms of a need. The Ravens, good spot in terms of a need.
Yeah.
Bill Barnwell is making the case that it should be Washington. My viewpoint on that is Washington is not a wide receiver away from winning the Super Bowl, and certainly not one on the wrong side of 30, because by the time they get there to that point that they could win a Super Bowl, he'll be even older. So I don't know if I love that, even though Barnwell thinks that's the perfect destination. Borchardt on baseball next.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, alongside as well. Still to come this hour, we will talk with Jason Weingarten on baseball, get into more of the MLB postseason as all the game twos, or the games two, however you're supposed to say that, happened today. Another quadruple header. What a great week of sports this is. Maybe my favorite, with baseball postseason and such volume of baseball postseason during the week. And then, of course, football, college and pro on the weekend. But always a pleasure to have this gentleman on, and thrilled to have him on. He's kind enough to come on sort of every quarter. I know 17 games now makes it a little janky, but roughly every quarter of the NFL season. He also does a couple megapods a year, one in the regular season for sure, if we can't get him for the postseason. It is the creator of DVOA. He was the founder of Football Outsiders and now is the chief analytics officer. That is the title he's going by at FTN. It's Aaron Schatz, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Aaron?
I am good, man. It's been an interesting season, but I'm enjoying it.
It has been. It's been great. I want to get into all of it. First thing I want to say, because I texted you the other night, I'm watching Sunday Night Football, and was it Sunday Night Football, I believe it was? Yes. And yes. Chris Collinsworth references, obviously, because Baltimore was playing, he references the fact that Lamar Jackson was just one vote shy of a unanimous MVP, and the way he worded it sounded like he was about to say your name, but then he came out with the other person that you voted for, which was Josh Allen. Did you think for a moment he was going to say your name?
I thought it was possible. I was like, oh, look, they're talking about me. And I thought it was possible that he was going to say something about, you know, the guy who voted for Josh Allen was an analytics guy or something, you know, just to sort of specify what kind of guy voted for Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. I got a couple of, you know, notes about that game, certainly from people who don't understand how years work, right? I mean, the vote on MVP for 2023 was based on 2023, not 2024. And obviously, Josh Allen did not look good on Sunday.
That's right. It's a different year, everybody. That's interesting that you got a couple notes about that. People trying to corroborate things or actually refute things. Let's start with, you came on in July, I believe it was, or early August, one or the other, here in the off season, and through the FTN almanac, the FTN football preview, you had some stuff to say on the show, And I remember you came strong with a bunch of stuff. And I'm curious how you feel about a couple of these things through four games or how it projects moving forward. Let's start with the fact that you came on here and you said, hey, New Orleans isn't as bad as people think. And you even thought that they had value in the division market. How do you feel about that through four games?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that. New Orleans has been better, actually, than even I expected, certainly. This weekend was not good for the idea of them winning the division because they lost by 1 point in a game with a lot of fluky stuff like the muffed punt recovered for a touchdown. And Tampa Bay won. And Tampa Bay looks stronger than expected. But I do think that Atlanta has been a little bit of a disappointment to the people that were really high on them. And I still think that New Orleans has played like the best team in the division. In fact, I mean, this is a little tweak because even with opponent adjustments, the opponent adjustments for Carolina are not strong enough for the first two games because Bryce Young was so bad. But right now, New Orleans is the fourth best 2-2 team in DVOA history.
Wow. Didn't we have I thought we flashed up another graphic of yours where someone was even higher than them through four.
Baltimore is the second best 2-2 team in DVOA history. So both Baltimore and New Orleans have played much better than their 2-2 records. And I think people realize that about Baltimore, especially after the win over Buffalo, but not necessarily realize that about New Orleans.
Makes sense. All right. That's interesting. Best two of the four best 2-2 teams.
Yeah, when I first put out this table, New Orleans is missing because when I first put this table online, which is where you got it from, I was missing New Orleans from it. But New Orleans actually slots in fourth ahead of the 2005 Seahawks.
Interesting. Okay. So another thing you came on here and said, well, first of all, just referencing Atlanta, I think you came on before they acquired Judon and Simmons. So at the time, yes, you're like, it's the worst defense in the league. But then they made those acquisitions. One other thing that sticks out. You said New England, because everybody thought, including myself, New England was going to be god-awful. They have won football games here, though.
Yeah, they won, and they came close to beating Seattle as well. They've been terrible the last 2 weeks. But I think being terrible against San Francisco, even with San Francisco's injuries, is not like a shock. They're having a lot of injuries. Duggar is out now. Juwan Bentley is out. David Andrews, the center, now looks like he's out for the season, and their offensive line is horrific. I still think the Patriots are more of a 5-12 bad than a 2-15 bad.
Okay.
Right? I think they're going to be competitive against teams like Miami without Tua and Tennessee and Jacksonville. And I think that they're going to end up winning 5 or 6 games. But with all the injuries that they have, that may not be right.
Yeah, I made it sound like they won 2 games. They are 1-3. And I remember before the season, you were like, they could win 7. But now with all the injuries, talking about 5-12 team.
It was 7 before the Judon trade. It was 6. I had 6.5 after the Judon trade. Now it's, I'm hoping for 5.
Here was the last thing I lied. One more thing from the preseason. You also said, because I remember this very clearly, you said Chicago and Indianapolis may be expecting too much from their young quarterbacks right away. That might be your best call so far.
Yeah, well, what I said was you have to expect a rookie quarterback to be bad. And I put Anthony Richardson in that group because he had hardly played. I said it's probable that one of them will be good, but we have no idea which one. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
One of them is good. It's not the one I would have expected it to be perfectly honest. Not because I have anything against Jaden Daniels, but because I was very skeptical of Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator.
That's right.
But there's no bad. I mean, Jaden Daniels has been absolutely phenomenal. And Chicago and Denver have disappointed. And Indianapolis only hasn't disappointed because they got a game out of Flacco.
All right, we talked about the 2-2 teams that are sort of historical. You go all the way back to 1979 now with this?
Yep.
Okay. What an amazing project that this has gotten you all. You actually got play-by-play all the way back to 1979. It's amazing.
We'll have 1978 next offseason.
Yeah. Wow. I thought we hit a wall. You found a new sort of way to get these?
There's a couple of games we can't find from 1978. There's a week 1 game where because the Pope was in America, the game was preempted and therefore like no one has it on video. We may be able to go before 1978, but we can definitely do 78.
Did we used to preempt NFL games for the Pope being in America? Wow.
Yeah, something like that. You know, maybe not in Chicago and St. Louis, but in other markets, and no one in Chicago and St. Louis seems to have taped it. So,
all right. Well, let's go to your entire DVOA rankings through week four in the National Football League. Who's your best? Who's at the top?
Number one right now is the 4-0 Minnesota Vikings. I've got my Minnesota little people right here.
Look at that. There you go. What year is that from?
They're ready for the season. Minnesota's defense has been number one this year. Really good.
Okay, Minnesota followed by the Ravens. The Saints are third. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, like I said, even though I added opponent adjustments this week, the fact is Carolina was so much worse in the first 2 weeks than the second 2 weeks that you're sort of like overrating the Chargers and the Saints because they played the Bryce Young Panthers. But the Saints have been really good.
I'm looking at the rest of this top 10. Seahawks 4, Lions 5, Bills 6, Niners 7. Of course, they had some injuries in some games. Steelers 8, Chiefs 9, Packers 10. Let's talk about the Steelers for a second. That's all defense there?
Yeah, that's one of the things I was wrong about in the preseason is that we had the Steelers defense regressing towards the mean, and the Steelers defense has, in fact, been really good. And Justin Fields has been all right, which is much better than I would have expected, given his first 3 years. He looks like a real live NFL starting quarterback. Not a good one, but an average one, which is much better than he had been in the past.
Now, obviously, these are reflections of what's happened already in the first four games. Is it your sense that this is something that will be sustainable for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I mean, I still feel like we have more knowledge about Justin Fields from 3 years than we do from four games. And I do feel like he's going to come back to earth a little bit. But, you know, I think it's likely that the defense being good, you know, the defense has been good every year. So I think it's probable that I was wrong about the regression and their defense is still good.
Who's at the very bottom of your list here, Aaron?
The last place team right now is the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
And Miami is 31st, which is a shock, but their defense has been bad and their offense has been terrible, except for week one. And Tua was bad, and then Tua got hurt, and it's been terrible, really awful since then. And then Jacksonville is 30th, New England 29th, and Carolina 28th.
The Cleveland thing is fascinating to me because, again, I'm down on, I mean, I've said a couple times this week, I think Miami might end up being the worst team. But Cleveland, I mean, is that just a full comprehensive fail or what's the part? Is it Deshaun Watson starts that explanation, I guess?
Oh, absolutely. It starts with Deshaun. The fact that at this point, Deshaun Watson is never going to be the guy that he was. But also they've had injuries on the offensive line. And their defense, which was supposed to be among the best in the league, has been very average, which I think will regress. I think that between the talent they have on defense, even though Myles Garrett is dealing with some injuries, and the fact that Jim Schwartz is good, I think their defense will return to being at least a top 10 defense. But their offense is such a black hole that it's not going to matter.
All right. Aaron is kind enough to stick around for a couple segments with us every time when we do the quarterlies. This is no different. He is an awards voter as well. And there's only 50 guys and girls who vote on these things. There's only 50 votes for NFL awards. Different ranking systems for each. We'll see if we can pry some thoughts out of Aaron on that. And then look into if there's a unit or two that has stood out. All granular from the perspective of DVOA, his proprietary stat, coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game has a special offer. This week only, you could score 40% off our football season special when you use promo code ANG. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl, including daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, proven betting systems, and exclusive betting splits. Save 40% off the football season special this week only when you sign up and use promo code ANG, as in A Numbers Game. This offer expires on October 7th, just 5 days from now, so do not wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Aaron Schatz, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. He, again, is the Chiefs and the Chief pardon me, the chief analytics officer at FTN, the creator of DVOA, again, which looks at football, the NFL, on a play-by-play level, every single play, all the way back to 1979 and going back further in history. We should point out again the 91 Washington Redskins and the 2007 Patriots, depending on how you look at it, with postseason or without, the greatest teams of all time. Aaron comes to us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Before I forget, Aaron, where can people access all your stuff the best?
Sure. FTNFantasy.com is the site. We do a lot more than fantasy, though. We do DFS optimizers. We do betting suggestions. We have DVOA. My site is FTNFantasy.com/DVOA. You'll find all the content there by me, Brian Knowles, Alex Blickle, Scott Spratt, et cetera, that's DVOA related. And then you can expand from there to all the other stuff that we have at FTN.
All right. Last few questions about DVOA, and then I want to get to award stuff. Where do the Washington Commandos fall on your list?
Yeah, so the Commanders are surprising because we don't have them number one on offense. I actually wrote about this a little bit yesterday. Reasons why EPA stats have them as like a legendary almost offense, and we have them second behind Baltimore, like still really good. But, you know, there's a few things. For example, they've recovered all of their own fumbles. The only interception that Daniels threw had no return. So these things mean more in EPA than they do in DVOA. They're 30th on defense. So if you look at drive stats, they're kind of amazing. Washington has more than 8 yards per drive, more than any other offense. And they have allowed more than 6 yards per drive, more than any other defense. Oh, it's an amazingly one-sided team.
Oh, man. Which feels like they're the most over team for bettors. They feel like a natural over team in a way that we've never seen through four games. A good offense and a terrible
defense.
Especially
that the rest of the league is down this year. Washington is like, here are the points.
Yeah, both ways. We did get one question about that. But before I do this, before we get to the awards, is there a unit, then you just alluded to Baltimore having the best offense, is there a specific unit, offense, defense, special teams, which is like an outlier through 4 weeks?
I mean, the Vikings defense is historically pretty good after 4 weeks. And I think the surprising is the Chargers and Broncos defenses being really top five, which is surprising for both.
Okay. Okay. You are an awards voter in the National Football League. These are Associated Press awards, and you are one of the 50 who votes on these things. We have a question from the numbers guys via Twitter who says, can you ask Aaron if Jaden Daniels is a play for MVP? Suppose he extrapolates his current numbers over the next 13 weeks. Well, if you say it that way.
Yeah, if he continues on this pace, he'll absolutely be among the top five quarterbacks, which means he absolutely is in the discussion for MVP. I think the two things I'm not thinking about who I'm going to vote for at this point. But I think the two things that stand out from early in the seasons is that Daniels is a real candidate and that Brock Purdy stands out more than he has even in the past because he's done what he's doing this year, despite not getting yards after the catch the way he has in the past. And despite having the injuries that he's been dealing with among other members of his offense that he hasn't dealt with in the past, that Purdy looks more real, I think, than he did last year.
Ladies and gentlemen, that feels like no matter what we say from this point forward, that's going to be the biggest nugget betting-wise with Aaron here today. That is, again, and Will Hill was on the show talking about Purdy for MVP also. I was a huge Purdy guy last year. I had a ticket on him. Obviously, that blew up in flames with the Ravens game. But Brock Purdy looks better this year. Like that game, the game they lost to the Rams, he looked spectacular in defeat. Brock Purdy right now still at 16-1 over at DraftKings for MVP. Now, let me just say this. Let me get this clarified, too, because we're going to have many people asking about this. You're a voter. You know how this goes down. MVP is, unless somebody does something ridiculous at another position, is generally a quarterback award, right?
And unless they change the name of it, yeah.
An offensive player of the year is the depository for anybody else who's not a quarterback on offense?
That's how I vote, yes.
That's how you vote. Okay. What about comeback player of the year, which obviously you were kind enough to come on when you were on, I think it was Super Bowl week, where you told us, hey, this language is going to change for comeback player of the year, and it did right after that. Could DeMar Hamlin be considered for that this year, given the new language?
That's an interesting question because he came back last year. The actual comeback from the injury was last year, but this year he's playing. So I think no, because the comeback from the injury was last year. He would have been considered last year. But I don't know. It's an interesting question because he barely played last year.
Right. And
like he played, but he barely played.
But the language is has to have missed games because of dot, dot, dot. Right. He has the ultimate.
Yeah, the Darnold. I'm sorry, but those Darnold odds are from people who don't understand the new.
Let's throw that up again on the screen. This is what Aaron's referring to. What he's referring to is for comeback player of the year right now, Aaron Rodgers is the short shot at plus 140. Sam Darnold is right behind him at plus 250. So you're saying no chance for a guy like Darnold.
If we all follow what the AP told us to follow, then Darnold is not. Darnold is the old way. The like, oh, here's a most improved player. Darnold wasn't injured like Rodgers and Burrow and Kyler Murray and Dobbins and Cousins. And so many of the players on this list were injured. Like Darnold is just coming back from being with the Jets, you know.
How we like to say it on this show is, Aaron, is he's just coming back from sucking. That's how we usually say it in sort of a flippant way. But that is that there's wisdom in that, right? So that is no longer. So that's the thing. The NBA has their award is called Most Improved. This is not that anyway, and there should be no bad interpretation of that.
Yeah, we've been told this year that it should be based on a player who comes back from an injury or some other, you know, off-field issue or something like that. It's not for a most improved player who just happened to be bad at his previous stop. And by the way, Darnold wasn't bad at his last two stops. He wasn't bad in San Francisco. He wasn't bad in Carolina. He was bad years ago in the Jets.
Okay, let's say, I know, and let me just caveat, I know this is only four games, you haven't even thought about awards, but I'm just going to sort of just, like, you know, pry a little bit on this, and just try to get into your brain. If it was now, through, roughly a quarter, just shy of a quarter of the NFL season, and we're thinking about offensive player of the year, what does your instinct tell you? That who would that be?
Oh, golly. I don't know.
Kamara? Kamara, maybe?
Saquon? No, Kamara takes a huge hit from opponent adjustments.
Oh, okay.
Saquon, who's been the top receiver this year? Nico Collins?
Nico Collins, yeah.
Maybe I'll be a goofball and vote for Trent Williams. Somebody needs to vote for, having one of the great over 35 seasons of all time.
Right? Okay,
Trent Williams.
Let's talk about that. You just said that would be you being a goofball. Would there be enough goofballs in the group of 50 to make something like that actually happen?
I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we had one of our favorite guests who's coming up, Jason Weingarten, for a whole year. Who was the lineman on the Giants who had cancer and came back for a whole year? He was like, Gates. Was it Nick Gates? Was that his name?
Bro, yeah. For comeback player.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Yeah. He was like going really crazy about that. We're like, yeah, we're like, no, Jason, there's not going to be enough people. Okay, same question for defensive player of the year. Like, who has stood out through 4 weeks to you?
Oh, I honestly don't
know.
Okay. No, I've seen some stats about Patrick Surtain, but I haven't had a chance to run my own stats about Patrick Surtain to feel like I would do him. Fred Warner, I think, has stood out. I really haven't been thinking about this stuff very much.
All right. We only have 60 seconds, so I'm just gonna push one last time, though.
I mean, there's one that's obvious, which is Jaden Daniels, right?
Jaden Daniels for Offensive Rookie of the Year is the obvious one.
If we voted today, yeah. I would have to do a ton of research on every award, but
one. You wouldn't even have to worry about that one. That's right.
No, that's not true. Assistant Coach of the Year would go to Brian Flores.
Who would be the Coach of the Year to you?
I would lean O'Connell. But I don't know. There's multiple good ones.
Yeah.
Coordinator of the year, though, Flores is running away with right now.
So much more football to be played. But nice of you to sort of just indulge us on that because we are bettors after all. And so we're curious what one of the minds of one of the voters is. And yours is always a generous one, Aaron. And we always appreciate it. @ashots_NFL on Twitter.
It's just @ashots_NFL, no underscore.
No underscore. @ashots_NFL, SCHATZ. And again, FTN. Check out all his stuff on his Twitter. And again, the website again, Aaron, is
is ftnfantasy.com. And so, yeah, Shana Tova to you, my friend.
Happy New Year, sir. Thank you, Aaron. Jason Weingarten on the other side.